Hare Krishna, this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, The Glories of Devotional Service. Text number 2. Nāyasyārvaśmanāpūṃsāṁ Varim nāsāvrajoginam Viśrutau śrutta devasya Bhuri chipyanti me savaha. Na, not, he, indeed, asya, about him, Varshmana, the greatest, pungsam, among men, Varimna, the foremost, sava, all, yoginam, of yogis, Vishutau, in hearing, Shutadevasya, the master of the Vedas, Bhuri, repeatedly, Chipyanti, are sated, may, my, asava, senses. Translation, Shonaka continued, there is no one who knows more than the Lord himself. No one is more worshipable or more mature a yogi than he. He is therefore the master of the Vedas, and to hear about him is always the actual pleasure of the senses. Please repeat, Shonaka continued. There is no one who knows more than the Lord himself. No one is more worshipable or more mature a yogi than he. He is therefore the master of the Vedas. And to hear about him always is the actual pleasure of the senses. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that no one can be equal to or greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in the Vedas also. Ako bahunam yo viradhati kaman. He is the Supreme Living Entity and is supplying the necessities to all other living entities. Thus all other living entities, both Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva, are subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The same concept is confirmed here. Nahiyasya vanasmana pungsam. Amongst the living entities, no one can surpass the Supreme Person, because no one is richer, more famous, stronger, more beautiful, wiser, or more renowned than he. These qualifications make him the Supreme Godhead, the cause of all causes. Yogis are very proud of performing wonderful feats, but no one can compare to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone who is associated with the Supreme Lord is accepted as a first-class yogi. Devotees may not be as powerful as the Supreme Lord, but by constant association with the Lord, they become as good as the Lord himself. Sometimes the devotees act more powerfully than the Lord, of course. That is the Lord's concession. Also used here, the word varinna, meaning the most worshipful of all yogis. To hear from Krishna is a real pleasure of the senses. Therefore, he is known as Govinda. For by his words, by his teachings, by his instruction, by everything connected with him, he enlivens the senses. Whatever he instructs from the transcendental platform, and his instructions, being absolute, are non-different from him. Hearing from Krishna, or his expansions, or plenary expansions like Kapila, is very pleasing to the senses. Bhagavad Gita can be read or heard many times. But because it gives great pleasure, the more one reads Bhagavad Gita, the more he gets the appetite to read and understand it. At each time he gets new enlightenment. That is the nature of the transcendental message. Similarly, we find that transcendental happiness in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The more we hear and chant the glories of the Lord, the more we become happy. End of purport. Om Agyanam Tirandasya Agyanam Salakaya Chakshul Mitam Nittasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namaham Vishnu Buddhaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutare Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nevishesha Shandavari Pasyata Satarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation again, Shalaka continued, there is no one who knows more than the Lord Himself. No one is more worshipable or more mature a yogi than He. He is therefore the master of the Vedas, and to hear about Him always is the actual pleasure of the senses. So here's a very essential shloka. From Shunaka. In this chapter entitled The Glories of Devotional Service. And it will find that this devotional service is nothing more glorious than devotional service, because devotional service is a means of connecting to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the most glorious object, most glorious person. As mentioned here, the Lord is the most worshipable because he is the most of everything. Mentioned here. If you come and saying he's the mostest. Krishna is actually the mostest. the most beautiful, the most wealthy, the strongest, the most learned, the most renounced, the most worshipable person. The most mature yogi, the most mature jnani. Nobody can fully appreciate the Lord because his qualities are also unlimited. But whatever the Lord desires to reveal, one can understand that much. And the Lord is revealed through the medium of devotion, through the medium of submission, a favorable submission to the Lord. So it's a question of one's consciousness. And that is the in the original place of the Lord, in the Jogpit, there are all the devotees there, the Lord and his innumerable devotees, but they're all in perfectly cognizant with the Lord's desire. Everyone is behaving properly. How they're created, how they're meant to behave, how the Lord desires them to behave, even though they have the independence not to. But everyone is in oneness with the Lord, in as much as that everyone is desiring the Lord's pleasure. And this is a consciousness to actually tap into that supreme energetic source. Krishna says there's no other way of knowing him fully. Because everyone knows Krishna to some degree. Krishna says, as you surrender to me, then he will reveal himself accordingly. But no one can actually fully know him. But the jnanis can know him to a certain extent. The yogis can know him a little more those who are successful, who are perfect, jnanis can actually perceive the, feel the presence of the Lord. They don't actually see him. They may see him in an impersonal form, they may see him in the form of a light in their meditations, and they may become very blissful by seeing that beautiful light. And meditating on that beautiful sight and beautiful, such a beautiful feeling that comes from it, then they think there's nothing beyond this. It's perfection. No, there's complete peace, no problems. So they're happy. That's what they want, and that's what they get. And the yogis, the perfect yogis, Astanga yogis, they go even further. They actually see the form of the Lord. And in their trance, they see the Lord who's with the forearms, yellow cloth, and his beautiful ornaments, kasturba jewel, long hair, curly hair, lotus-like eyes, red lips, and a crown, jewels and weapons, and he's smiling at them, with a nice smile. And the waves of ecstasy are coming from this smile, is radiating. And they're completely satisfied. And it's perfection. You're seeing Narayan face to face. This is what all the scriptures are talking about. It was worth it. All those austerities, all that tapasya I've been performing. This is worth it, you know. But that's not actually the purpose of the living entity. Right? So much fun for Krishna because he's a person, then he requires relationships. Because from relationships you get different emotions, different feelings. They call rasa, different exchanges. So they support the activities or the forms are supportive of the actual relish that they get from the different exchanges, different emotional exchanges, like we do. They say love is the king in this world, right? Love is nothing greater than love. But what is love? It's just an emotion, just an exchange of emotion, something or someone that evokes that emotion in you. So it's that that feelings that Everyone's actually looking for experience. That's what everyone is looking for, experience in life. And we're trying different ways to achieve different experiences. The experience of peace is attractive because the material world is very harsh. Okay? Hunger, thirst, lamentation, heat, cold, fear. They're all there. Krishna says it's a... not such a great place to be for the spirit soul. Is always all these clashes are constantly. So peace is very attractive in this material world because we don't know it. We hardly ever experience it. But over and above that, people don't think to ask, "What will I do when I'm peaceful?" The yoga, the jnanis, and those who want to attain that kind of liberation, freedom from the three modes of nature, they don't. Question, they don't think, what am I going to do when I'm peaceful? When all the pleasures have stopped, now what will I do? So that goes on in the, because it's such a great thing, it's such a great thing to actually overcome these pleasures that, you know, it's laudable, but over and above that, there's activity. And that activity is in arranging different pastimes, we say, different activities to produce a different result for the pleasure of the Lord. This is the perfection in life. And this is what we're practicing now, trying to practice in our stage of sadhana bhakti, because that spontaneous yearning is not there, that spontaneous attraction, that calling from the heart is not there for most of us. So then we place ourselves in the under the, you know, what should we do? We don't know. How should we think? How should we feel? How should we will? These things that we're doing at every moment of our lives. How should we do them? What is the best utility of those things? So that is given in our, by the Krishna and through Krishna by the acharyas. This is the best way to, best thing to do, the best thing to think, and the best mentality to have when you're doing these kind of things. Accept what's favorable, reject what's unfavorable. These two things. But now we have to learn what is favorable and what is unfavorable. That's all. And then actually apply it. This, because it's connected to the Lord, of course the Lord is everything, but some things are connected directly to the internal energy, the chit potency, like the process of devotional service, Shravana, Kirtan, Vishnu, Smaran, Marachana, these things, they're directly imbued with the chit potency. So when you engage in these activities, they're not ordinary activities. And therefore you get direct connection with the Lord. Now according to one's receptivity or one's submissiveness, one's openness, one can appreciate it to that degree. Or degree of surrender, as we say, to that degree of, that we're actually really surrender to that, to the process, and open to experience Krishna. To that degree we can experience Krishna. So this process, by doing that, it will purify us. This is a secondary aspect of following this process of service to Krishna under the direction of the acharyas. The secondary effect is that we get purified according to artha nivritti. And then we began to see our desire, our material desires, you know, what we've actually coming, why we're actually doing this, practicing this. Because it's not for Krishna's pleasure. Otherwise, if it's for Krishna's pleasure only, then we're pure unalloyed devotees. But we can't claim that. So therefore, these other desires start to appear. They say when you boil the ghee, making the ghee on the slow heat, then all gradually the impurities come out of the yogurt, and it gradually transforms into pure ghee. And on the top comes all of the impurities, and you can scoop them off. So that's like an artha nivritti in the shravanam, and it means adoshada sarasanga bhajanakriya. This is bhajanakriya, hearing, chanting, associating with devotees, performing devotional services. This is our bhajanakriya. And by doing that, then we gradually see these other things. We're hearing, part of our devotion is hearing about the pastimes of the Lord and his devotees. So we get all these first class examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam, etc., of these wonderful devotees, how they act, how they think. And then they gradually become our heroes, and then we start to compare ourselves with them, and then we think, oh, you know, we've got quite a ways to go, but they become our role models. So then we start to compare that, although they don't have these kind of desires, they neglect, not even interested in these things of the material world, you know, like peace and, you know, happiness and prosperity. They've risen above that even. So what great thing they must have, what great thing this Krishna consciousness must be in essence. So this is a process, and then we take, you apply your intelligence and then act further on that. You deliberate further on what's going on and see these anarthas coming. Now you have them, but also you have to let go of them. It's not that now you can see them. Now you know that it doesn't mean that you can see them. They've gone. It means you're just aware of your conditional nature. It becomes more apparent. But now you have to work on letting that go, which is not easy in some cases, because the things that we value, material things that we value, they're actually impediments. They're actually in the path of devotional service. So any relationship we're getting with Krishna through whatever we're doing is mixed in, is mixing with these blocks. These blocks are there, so we're not getting the pure thing through. So therefore, we have all these, we have these wonderful literatures, we have these wonderful devotees coming, teaching us pure devotees. Krishna comes himself, sends his pure devotees. Today's appearance of Ramanuja Acharya is in great empowered devotee of the Lord, teaching pure devotional service to Supreme Personality of Godhead. And simply by hearing, we become very enlivened, the senses become enlivened. As Srila Prabhupada mentions this, if you read the Bhagavad Gita, you can hear it many times, but each time it gets better. You get more meaning from it, and it gets more relishable, more tasty, they say. There was an example, Ramanuja's guru, Jamuna Acharya, he actually never met him, but he was desired to meet him. When Ramanuja got out of the, away from his guru, was actually a Mayavadi, and went to Jamunacharya just left his body, but he gave him some special instructions, which everyone understood that Ramanuja was an extraordinary, person who was directly understood the mission of Jamunacharya. And his Jamunacharya was interesting. When he was a young boy, he was living at the ashram. And then the king had a very ferocious pundit. He used to challenge everyone, and if they couldn't defeat him, then they had to pay a tax to the king. So he would, Jamunacharya's guru had been defeated by this person, so he came for his taxes, and he hadn't been for 2 years, so he was very demanding the taxes, because they didn't have a lot of money either. They were just living simply in the ashram. The guru wasn't there. Jamunacharya was alone, and the way this man spoke, he was very offended. So he said, we're not paying. We'll come and challenge you, the young boy. So the so then he went there and he defeated this pundit very easily. And the king and the queen were kind of having a joke beforehand. He said he'd be like a cat and mouse. The king said, this pundit will tear him apart. And the queen, she said, no, he will easily defeat your pundit somehow or other. She said, if he doesn't, I'll become a servant of one of my maid servants. He said, okay, then if he does, I'll give him half a kingdom. So he gave him half a kingdom. And Jamunacharya, he got into it, and he was doing well, he was conquering other people and expanding the kingdom, but he forgot about his devotional practice. But his grandfather was a very great devotee, and when he was leaving his body, he said, I wanted to save him, but I couldn't. So he asked his disciple to go and deliver him. So what he went to the kingdom, and he saw that there was, he could never get a chance to see him. There's all these ministers and kings. And so what he did, he got this special shark, and he went to the cook, who was also a very devotional person, and said, if you give this shark to your, cook this shark for your king, he'll become very intelligent and very healthy. He's very good. So then he cooked it for him, and every day he would bring this shark. And the king, really appreciated it. And then one day he stopped. He didn't come. So the king said, hey, where's my shark today? I said, I'm enjoying that. He said, well, the person didn't come today. Some person brings it every day. And he said, who is that? He said, well, when sannyasi comes, he doesn't ask for any money. He just brings it. He said, if he comes again, you bring him to me. So then, next time he came, then they brought him. And the devotee said, I have something very secret to tell you. Your cook should leave. He said, actually, your grandfather, he left you a great fortune. But he told me what you told me to. I should give it to you. So he thinks, great, I just got a big campaign coming up. I need some money, and my grandfather's really good, really nice man, and you're such a great person. He's giving you this wealth. You're so honest, you didn't take it yourself. You just... He said, we have to go to this certain place. He said, but it's surrounded by seven walls, and the river and several other things were there. He's talking about Sri Rangam in Ranganath. He has seven walls around his temple, and this is the actual treasure he's talking about. So he said, okay, I'll get them an army. And no, he said, we have to go alone. So then they set off, and then they rest for the afternoon. It was hot, and then that devotee starts to sing Bhagavad Gita so sweetly. And then it churns back his memories of when he was a child. And he said, that's so nice. So you know, he's speaking more and more. And then he kind of come to his senses again. He said, well, I've simply been wasting my life. After hearing, my consciousness has gone back to how it used to be. You know, I just forgot about that, because gradually I was getting into more and more, you know, society and stuff. And I didn't realize how far away. Now I realize, you know, what, so much anxiety I was in. And now I've been so blissful, so peaceful. So he read for 7 days. He stayed there for 7 days, and by the end of that 7 days, especially the sloka where Krishna says, who fully engages his mind, intelligence in me, that sloka, he really appreciated it. He said, wow, I really wasted my life engaging my intelligence and mind in all these other worldly pursuits after fame and enjoyment. He said, what a fool I was. And he completely changed. And then he took him to the real treasure, Lord Ranganath there. So it's proof here what Srila Prabhupada is saying, that you know, the more one reads the Bhagavad Gita and gets the appetite to read and understand it more and more, you get more enlightenment. Because it's directly Krishna. It's not different from Krishna. Krishna in his in a verbal form of Krishna. So unless you're actually submissive and willing, then it's difficult to sink in. That's why most people aren't really interested in devotional service. Or one has to be very pious. Krishna says, after being pious, sinless in previous births and in this birth, only one can take to my devotional service. That's why there's only such a few devotees, because the whole situation outside is very impious, very sinful. it's always there. It's always there. It's there for everyone. That somehow or other we become. And this is actually the greatest pleasure. But it takes something. It takes some time to actually. Some people it's instant. Some people. Instantly they accept. Janamus example, we was traveling around India searching for the truth. He went to temple to buy some books. He never came out. Like he never even went back home again. So after 40 years, so there's just one, you know, we heard one example yesterday. There's another one. Some people, if they're pious, if they're fortunate, it happens really quick. They feel that you feel that mercy, the Lord's mercy is more apparent if you actually open for it. So we're talking to our Braja Sevaki. She called, and I was trying to, you know, choose my words very carefully, knowing the situation, explaining how I'm fortunate. And she said, Prabhu, this is the best thing that's happened in my life. What? She said, really? It's the best thing that could happen to me. Really? I said, Janu feels exactly the same. It's so peaceful now, she said. Someone was saying the other day that if you get something really severe, you know, really, because they went, if you don't know, they went through a very, very severe accident. it just takes away, you know, maybe lifetimes of karma just gone. She said, it's so nice. She said, I can sit down, I don't have to read, I can just remember Krishna and just feel so much ecstasy. And the reciprocation of Krishna and the devotees are so, you know, caring and loving. And she said, it's just unbelievable. I couldn't appreciate it before, but now I'm really appreciating. So it takes all kinds of ways to Krishna to bring us to our senses. But the fact is, he's always there, he's always available. you know, right now it's that Krishna consciousness in any degree is available by the Lord's mercy. We just have to, you know, have that submission and surrender to that mercy of the Lord somehow or other. We're finding the best ways to do it. And the best ways are this, obviously, what's there. Shravanam Kirtan, Vishnu Smaranam. Just keep yourself engaged in these activities. These are actually the very best activities to. But there should also be a desire to achieve that, because it's such a relief. You know, the mind finds some pleasure there, and the senses find pleasure there in Krishna. And it's a natural pleasure, and you can't improve on that pleasure. So once you've tasted a little bit, this is, you know, what keeps everyone going. So that's this is Krishna's kindness. He's there. He's available. He's just waiting for us to make the steps. He's played his part. I've done my bit. Now it's up to you. You're giving you all the information available. You can have me. Prabhupada said you can get Krishna in your pocket. So you can have me in any way you want me. Krishna's given that. This is a consciousness you've got to have, and I'm available. I sell myself to you. He's very fair, Krishna. You know, he's the greatest person. There's no doubt about that. Who else would you do that if you were God? We wouldn't even think of it, right? This is how great a personality is. The more we hear about him, the more we actually appreciate his personality. How great he is. Not just because he's, you know, gorgeous looking or strong or handsome or rich and all those other qualities. Not just because of that. Because he's, you know, his heart is really soft, loving, and just full of giving for his devotees. And he just wants us to become part of that. That's his reality. He wants us to become a part of that reality instead of separating ourselves by, you know, looking somewhere else for some satisfaction and pleasure. So this is all he's doing, and these devotees and these scriptures, they just come to remind us this is where we're supposed to be. This is the direction we're supposed to be going in. So somehow, you know, you've got to start changing gears and changing direction and working on that to let it sink in our heads that, you know, we're actually, you know, we're in the wrong place in the material world. And this is the pointing out the right direction according to the time, place, and circumstance. And we're given so many options, so many different ways we can apply this information, apply this knowledge, which is actually, you know, it's actually Krishna's knowledge. It's coming from him. So sincerely as we do that, then to that degree we'll advance in spiritual life and become nicely situated in devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sarva Bhari ki jai, Atai Gopramanandi, Hari Hari.